This past February, we headed over to Australia for the Soundwave Festival, a traveling music festival filled with bands playing Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, Adelaide, and Brisbane. Aside from the obvious headliners like Metallica, Slayer, and Linkin Park, there was also Anthrax, Tomahawk, Cypress Hill, Caius Lives, Blink-182, The Offspring, Ghost, Sick of It All, Kingdom of Sorrow, Garbage, Stone Sour, Madball, The Sword, Fozzy, Paramore, Bullet for My Valentine, Red Fang, and Flogging Molly. Damien Abraham of Fucked Up had told me about this festival months before, but I couldn't really picture this traveling circus slash camp that he was painting for me. True enough, it really became this great big two-week hangout, and bands couldn't help but get to know each other. What was interesting was the amount of bands from Toronto booked to perform. Aside from us and Fucked Up, there was also The Cancer Bats, Gallows featuring Torontonian and Black Coffee Brigadier Wade McNeil on vocals, Billy Talent, and Sum 41. I knew a few of those guys, but not very well, and coming from the same hometown, it had all the makings of a possible awkward 2 weeks. Fortunately, my time spent with all these bands was enjoyable, and I even ended up writing about the experience for my weekly Huffington Post column afterwards. If you want to read that article, you can do a search on my name and Huffington Post, and it should lead you to the archived column. Anyway, one of these moments came immediately upon boarding the Toronto flight to LAX en route to Australia when we bumped into Cone, bassist from Sum 41. I had met him very briefly before at local music shindigs, and I'd even seen him at our show once or twice, but I'd never really sat down and talked to him. During our layover at LAX, we had dinner and hung out. I was pleasantly surprised to find Cone a very cool hang, and it made for a nice start on our Soundwave journey. Billy Talent is a band that I've watched bloom and blossom into the headlining outfit they are today. But just because we come from the same town doesn't necessarily mean we automatically know each other, and although I had brief encounters with both guitarist Ian DeSaw and vocalist Ben Kowalowicz over the years, once again, I'd never really sat down for a hang. After meeting everyone, it was obvious I had to get these guys onto the podcast. Since Ian and Cone are very good friends, always hanging out, etc., etc., the idea was hatched to bring both of them on at the same time to talk shop. And as you'll hear, it was a highly enjoyable one held in the bar of their Sydney hotel. The boys took me to task a little bit, as you'll hear, for my past, perhaps unmannerly indiscretions, and I willingly conceded, but you'll also hear my explanation. This is our fourth and final podcast from the Soundwave 2013 Festival, and as you can hear, my voice on the podcast is shot to hell. Even now, I'm still on tour. I haven't come home since we recorded this podcast with Ian and Cone, and my voice hasn't healed 100%. But that's how it goes, being on the road. Still, thank you to Blue Mic Microphones and Skull Candy Headphones for making this podcast happen, despite the condition of my voice. We were also using one Blue Mic microphone between the three of us, so you might be able to hear the more than usual table noise on this one. I think it's still worth it, because how can you not like these guys? It's Ian DeSaw from Billy Talent and Cone from Sum 41 on this episode of the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. Hey, we're going to have a totally natural conversation today. At the wherever you guys are, Happy Ending Hotel, compared to my one ply motel across town.
The Happy Ending Hotel.
Happy Ending Hotel. This is all happy endings.
Well, I could
here.
Tell you a story about last night. No, I'm just kidding.
That's funny, actually. You can.
I'm here with Ian and Cone. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
How you doing?
We're in Australia. We could have done this podcast easily. Back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Sydney.
But, you know, we're at Soundwave and we were hanging out yesterday. I had a moment, you know, being in Toronto, like, nobody saw it. It was in the dark, but you guys were waiting for me. while other people wanted my photo.
That's right.
That was awesome.
It was a big lineup of fans.
I thought I saw you like ask if anyone wanted your photo.
Oh, you saw that? I mean, no.
Yeah, I thought we were walking to the van, and then I recall you saying, "Does anyone want a photo with me, Declan Jones?"
Fuck, I shouldn't have said that because you're totally right. Fucking hell.
And then these people start coming over.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because then I go, sorry, dudes. We're down under, man. It's opposite world here. yeah, you guys showed up to the side wave gig we had with Duff and yeah. Fozzy last night. So thanks a lot. Did you guys catch our set? Yo.
We got there right after you.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's cool.
We were trying.
We thought you were second.
I'll take that. Thank you, guys.
Play with Duff.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And Ian recorded it actually.
Yeah, I got it on my video. You want to see it?
Sure.
I'll show it to you another time.
Yeah, the whole song?
Not the whole song, no. Actually, no, I think I only took some pictures, man. No,
I thought you were recording.
I recorded a bit, maybe. Yeah.
Why are you teasing me like this?
It's already online.
I'll send
you the picture.
My voice is fucked because of singing that song.
Oh, because really?
You want to impress Duff.
You're a little raspy today.
Yeah. You want to impress Duff.
Yeah, yeah. You were giving it.
You don't go
it,
fucking half ass. So
it was great, man. I was doing a high harmony with you. And
was he?
Yeah, he was doing the high harmonies. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think and the other guys were doing some stuff too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was.
I was grabbing I didn't even realize I was grabbing the mic, which I never do with both hands, a la Axel.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess, you know, you hear those songs enough, that's just what you do.
Yeah, totally.
But we had a moment. The first night of Soundwave, Metallica threw a barbecue.
Yeah.
And we were all there and stuff. And Ian and I had an un-moment with James Hetfield.
Basically, we just stood around and tried to meet James Hetfield for probably an hour.
Yeah, I was stalking him.
And neither of us would go up first because I was too nervous.
I was reading his lips, dude.
You know, he's like that guy. Like, you see him, and he's almost like he's glowing. He's kind of scared to go up to him a little bit, you know?
You felt that too, right?
Yeah, I've met him before, and the first time I ever met him, I was like probably shaking. Because he's just like, he's big, and it's like you've been watching him since you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
And, like, I was nervous. I was probably, you know, wasn't speaking correctly and all that stuff. But,
you're speaking like Yoda?
Yeah, just like, you don't really know what you're saying at the time.
Cone 41 some, am I?
But he was nice to you guys. He's a nice guy, but he's a little intimidating for sure.
Fuck. Yeah. I think he knows that enough to know, like, to be even more nice.
Yeah. He knows everyone there wanted to meet him.
Yeah, dude.
Imagine walking into a party of like 400 people.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone wants it.
Every guy's got a man crush
on
you. But seriously, dude, some of us wanted to meet him more than others.
Yeah. Harold and Kumar over here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we look like.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
yeah.
just mulling around the guy like Harold and Kumar. Like, terrible.
We said that to each other.
You know what I saw, though? After you guys met him, he left right away.
Yeah, he was like, okay, this is getting... We're fucking trolling the bottom of the barrel here. I think it's done.
We waited right till the end of the night. And then he was just kind of like, all right, I've seen you guys hanging out for like 2 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
It was...
But we had like, on the third attempt of trying to see him, like I remember you walked, you said, come on, let's go meet him. And I backed out.
Yeah.
And then I did it. You backed out.
Yeah.
And then we just like... Fuck this. Like,
and then Wade got in there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wade. And Jonah, the dude from Fucked Up.
I was hanging out with Jonah, and we were doing the same thing, watching James. And then I just left Jonah. And then 10 minutes later, I turn around. James is talking to Jonah. Jonah looks over to me, and he goes, he just like
mouthed,
"Where'd
you go?
Like,
Mr.
Jets. Dude. Sorry, man."
And James is sober, too, right? He doesn't drink.
Yeah.
So he's like stone cold sober, meeting all these drunken band guys.
Yeah, just going.
Imagine that, like just being, like everyone just coming up slurring, and he's just kind of staring at you, like, "What the fuck are you talking?" Like he's probably thinking, "What the fuck are these guys talking about right now?"
Did you see any of the other guys there?
Yes, I saw all of them were there.
I didn't see the other guys. I would have loved to meet Kirk.
I met Kirk. In fact, Kirk came up to me.
That's right. Cool. Yeah. Tell
did you
story.
See that?
That? That was amazing.
All the guys in Fucked Up
I
saw
it. I didn't see it.
So yeah. Ask them. Man. I got proof.
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
There you go.
He turns out he's a big Danko Jones fan.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All the classic rock guys love you.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Lemmy.
Yeah. But Kirk Hammett. But you had Kerry King on your album, didn't you?
On a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a Beastie Boys Return.
Yeah. It was,
with you
yeah,
guys.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. He was in a video with us and played just a solo on, we did a Spider-Man song, the first Spider-Man.
Did you say hi and hey, Kerry, what's up, man?
Yeah, but
Peter
you know, the first,
Peter Parker, dude.
The first time I met him.
PP.
He
Mary
was
Jane.
At, we didn't. He didn't actually record with us. So we sent him the track and he did the solo over. But then he came to the video shoot. This is the first time we ever met him. And he had Satan tattooed on his head. So all of a sudden he was like, and he's, you know, that's what he has on his
head. Is that what the head tattoo
yeah,
is?
It's Satan. It's wow. It is the devil.
It's a picture of the devil?
It is the devil.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the word Satan.
No. It's like okay. The devil is
some fucked up. Okay.
So, that's like, you know, and we're like 22 years old and like, hey, Kerry. Thanks for coming. So, he's another intimidating guy.
But did you guys notice when he walked in, there was a gust of wind? Everybody was talking about it. Did you notice that?
Really?
Yeah. When he walked in, we were like, oh, man, we got to get inside. People were playing basketball outside, and then the rain came and the wind came, and he walked in with his like bodyguard.
Wow, really?
You guys didn't see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, we were all talking about it.
That's crazy.
It was a bit weird. But he was the only one, and Gary Holt. I met Gary Holt.
Yeah, Gary was
subbing in for Jeff Hammond. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So it was a pretty good... Yeah, and then our conversation with James consisted of one sentence's... reply and then one word replies.
I think he was tired of talking to dudes by then.
Yeah,
he was just like,
he was really like, being nice.
We played with you last year at Rock and Ring, James. Rock and Ring, love that festival.
I mean, he asked us a question though.
No, he did ask us a question.
Where
we're
from? Where are you guys from?
And we're both like, we're both from Toronto.
We're both from Toronto, sir. And he goes, Canada. What do you say?
Great place.
Great place.
Canada. Great place.
That's cool. That's really cool. That's cool.
The whole barbecue idea I thought was a little strange. Like, why are they putting themselves through that?
Yeah, like, I thought, like, kudos to them for doing that.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
No other band would do that.
Yeah, no.
It was a great gesture on their part.
Yeah.
If we were in the same position, wouldn't do it.
Probably not.
Probably never, ever.
Yeah.
What's a good way to acquaint all the bands, too? There's so, there's so many bands I don't even know on this festival.
Yeah.
It's like, now you get to see them all in one room and don't recognize, like,
70%. It's a great idea, but they're basically putting themselves through hell in a way, right?
Yeah.
For those 3 hours, you know.
I mean, it's a little, I hate to sound like this, but it's a graduated kind of hell, because, like, at least it's a room full of people who've maybe gone through that whole process already, and they can at least...
Yeah.
They know their boundaries because they've been through it.
Yeah. True.
But fuck the boundaries, man. That's James Hetfield, man. I'm getting my fucking 2 minutes with him.
Did you get a picture?
Oh, no. Because, see, this is the part of the stalking.
Yeah.
I saw someone else take a photo of him, and I read James's face.
Oh, yeah?
And I just didn't think he was into it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't think they're phototype guys.
I didn't go for it.
Actually, a lot of the bands on this tour, I don't know if they're photo type guys. I was thinking of even getting a picture with like Scott Ian or Duff or something, but I'm like, nah, you just don't do that.
You don't?
No.
I don't know. Maybe not on this kind of. Well, you're part of the tour, so it's just kind of weird, right?
No, I hear you.
But say, I think of it both ways. Like, say a band opens up for you. And the band wants to, like, a kid in the band wants a photo with you. Would you be like, oh,
that guy's such a punisher.
See, you have to kind of think of it.
I would totally take the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, I would totally be, you know, I just got to take the picture. It's
so I think if you would ask Duffer.
What a ball breaker that guy is.
What a ball breaker. How dare he ask for a picture with me?
Is that HD?
I'm shameless.
Yeah.
I'll bring records. I brought her an Anthrax record.
Yeah.
And I even uploaded a video on Facebook saying, I hope Anthrax signs my record during Soundwave. And then I was inundated by people in my inbox going, taken care of, dude. I got it. I can get you in, dude. And all this stuff.
Yeah.
So we're a week into the festival, not one signature not from one. Anthrax yet.
Really?
Not
oh,
yet.
Wow. We flew to Sydney. We were on the plane with them. So in Baggage Claim, Scotty Ian. And we met them before, but like I don't really, you know, just hi, bye, whatever. If you're on the plane, you're sitting right there, that would have been your chance.
Are you saying you would have introduced me to Scott Ian?
Absolutely. And our tour manager.
He's one of these guys in my inbox.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In my inbox.
Already hooked up.
Hooked up, dude. Consider it done. I got that like three times.
Consider it done.
But it's not done yet, but whatever.
You're going to have to hook the guy.
Well, there's only two originals, right, in the band right now?
Joey Belladonna.
Yeah, you're right. Three. Well, two. When you think of Fistful of Metal, it's Scott Ian and one.
Charlie's not here, right?
Well, when you think of Fistful of Metal from Fistful of Metal lineup, I think it's only Scott Ian who's the only Fistful of Metal member in Anthrax right now. The next one is Spreading the Disease, and that's got Joey who's here, Frank who's here, and Scott, and Charlie's at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, And then Slayer's got half of Slayer.
David
Bardo's not here either, right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. I heard mixed things about that.
He quit
or he got fired or something.
He was looking through, I guess, the records, and he saw that 90% went to management or something of all the earnings and stuff.
That's high.
It's pretty.
That's insane.
Yeah.
90%.
So he just
90%.
He called it off. He called his So the guy who's filling in for Charlie in Anthrax is filling. Yeah, dude.
Wow.
For him, it's a great gig. I mean, I think it's gonna elevate his profile as a drummer.
Management gets 90, and Kerry gets the other, and Kerry gets 9. So they're gonna split the other one.
Well, they don't do too bad. Slayer don't
do
too bad.
Yeah, no, they do. They did good.
But yeah, so that's so far. That's about it.
So what do you just bring these records out and you just want to get them? Because I saw you play. I saw you hanging out at a ZZ Top show in Toronto one time.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're like, I don't really want to. I don't even care to meet the guys. I just want these records signed. I just want to get these records signed. And I don't care. me and my buddy, we went to the meet and greet and got to meet Billy Gibbons. And, and the whole band. And it was pretty funny because he had these records. Finally got him signed, and he's like, "Got my record signed, I'm out of here."
Yeah.
I'm totally like that. I'm shameless when it comes to getting records signed, but if you don't want to hang out and talk, I don't want to either. Like I just,
yeah,
I really don't want to do it. I feel like I'm taking too much of their time, and then I read their face too much. I'm like, this guy hates me. I don't think I can't listen to Legs like the same way anymore. So in order to not have that, I just leave. I get my.
That's true, actually. That's a good way of doing it because, like, you sometimes you think that they want to have a cup. They might be just like, you know, I just want to go have a shower, man, and I just want to go read a book on my bus.
I don't
want to.
They
don't really care to talk.
Well,
so I'm signing this shit and get it over with.
You guys were backstage at the ZZ Top show, and we saw each other and stuff. And anyone else, I swear to God, anyone else in the position I was in last night, including like myself. 10 years ago, would have shat bricks to get on, and I ended up getting on Billy Gibbons' bus, and we were hanging out that night and everything, and it was an awesome night.
Yeah.
Only problem is, I had to pee, like the kind of pee you feel at the end of a movie when you run to the washroom.
And you didn't want to ask him if you could use his
water. No.
You didn't want to go on his bus.
I didn't go on his bus.
Oh, you didn't go on. I thought you said you were on the bus.
I was on the bus, and I had to go pee.
You didn't want to pee on Billy
And I couldn't
Gibbons
pee
bus.
On Billy Gibbons' bus.
You know the protocol. No paper down the toilet. Everything.
I know, but I don't want any waste products from me leaving. I just feel I would be disrespecting a bus. I'll be home, and I'll just be like in my bed going, hey, there's a bucket of my own piss traveling to Buffalo.
Traveling to Buffalo on Billy Gibbons.
On Billy Gibbons,
somewhere
is traveling
in those bays of the bus.
Hey, did they play with like the smallest? When we played with ZZ Top at a festival, and they were headlining. It was a massive stage, but they had these little combo amps.
I've heard that too. Yeah,
just like these tiny, and it was like one amp, like no, like you know how a lot of people bring dummy cabs and fill the stage up.
Yeah,
no, it was like one little combo guitar amp.
Yeah,
one little bass, like half stack bass amp. And that was it.
I hope so. I mean, I've seen them a few times.
Yeah.
but I don't. I'm not a gearhead really. I didn't really look at their amps. We ended up the way I got backstage. You guys are hooked up. I'm in my hometown. You guys are hooked up. I'm not hooked up.
Oh, come on.
And
come
so on. I ended up backstage because of the European connection, and I'd met him at a festival in Holland, and once again I just wanted records signed. I brought my records, and he was like in his pajamas, and he just kind of was like, come on out. We ended up hanging out for like 30 minutes, and we were getting into it, and he was drawing this picture, this out of magic marker. He's just drawing this picture of his gear. Right? Yeah, he was trying to explain to me his gear. I didn't have the heart to tell him, like, you could be speaking Chinese, Billy. I don't know. I do play guitar, but it's a paint by numbers thing. And in the back of my head, the only thing I was thinking was, he's gonna give me that drawing, and I'm gonna frame it. And then I was going forward into time going, I ain't even going to go to IKEA for the frame. I'm going to go to a custom framer. This was all like, I'm just looking at the piece of paper going, I want that. That's the greatest autograph from Billy Gibbons. Yeah, like, that's all I want. I didn't care about the meeting or the talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want the little trinkets so I can put them on my wall and just look at them and jerk off to them. You know what I mean? So right then and there, I got called to do my own interview. And I had to leave, and that was it.
No.
Yeah, dude, that was brutal.
You didn't ask him for the picture.
I couldn't. It was the wrong moment. You know,
yeah.
You only get a certain window. So, yeah, that was the shit. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great night on his bus, but I had to pee the whole time. And I remember I was looking at you and Steph, and I was like, I think I was like passing you guys or something. While
yeah,
you guys, and I'm like,
we saw you getting off the bus.
Did you?
Yeah, we were walking over the bridge as you were getting off the bus, and you were like, I had to pee, like Costanza, George Costanza.
I had to pee so fucking bad. And I remember passing you guys, I think, on the way to the bus going, I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to do this. I don't even want to do this, man. It's this fucking hang that lasts forever. But Billy Gibbons is my favorite guitar player of all times. Yeah,
of all time?
Of all time. So it was like hanging with... Or like Yoda to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, must have been.
Yeah, it was pretty, pretty heavy duty.
What records did you bring this up?
Tejas.
Tejas.
And DeGello.
DeGello. Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah,
I love that record.
So you know, you only get a certain amount. You can whatever. I didn't want to put them out either.
There's that new song they put out recently, right? I thought it was pretty good.
I've only heard like little snippets of it. Yeah, but
yeah,
through
cool.
Rick Rubin produced.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's cool.
Seems
good.
Like they're back on track.
Yeah.
They were doing this like real synthetic digi sound for years.
Oh, okay.
And they went back and they remastered all their old albums to that digi sound. So I thought, I don't know. They need to remaster it, I think, but whatever. There's a story that I heard when the guy from Ninja Tune, which is out of Montreal, remember that? Ninja Tune?
That was like, who was on the Tiga, DJ Tiga and stuff.
Yeah, like...
It's like electronic music.
Amon Tobin is
Amon
on
Tobin.
It.
Amon Tobin.
And all that.
Kid Koala.
Kid Koala.
Kid Koala.
And it's based out of Montreal.
Yeah.
And I guess the guy who... This is a story I heard from Jonathan Cummings from Bionic Doughboys. He was telling me that... The guy who runs Ninja Tune saw Dusty Hill and Billy Gibbons walk in the street of St. Catharines or something, and he went up to him. No, some guy who's a friend of the Ninja Tune's owner saw them, and they asked him where they could buy records. Like, where were some record stores on St. Catharines? And like, well, my friend owns a record label. Like, I'll take you to him. And then he goes, hey, I'm coming over with some people. Like, be at home. And he didn't tell him. The guy opened the door, and it was fucking ZZ Top. And they ended up, like, smoking a bowl and... sitting on their own couch watching Dusty Hill and Billy Gibbons play records in their living room.
Wow.
That's the story awesome. I told. And I asked that about Billy. I said, Billy, is that a true story? And he goes, yeah, probably. You know, he didn't deny it.
Yeah.
So that was fucking heavy.
That is
Bionic
cool.
Still around?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I think Jonathan's in a new band.
Okay.
That it sounds like... Karma to Burn, I think.
Okay.
But it could be
a couple months ago I searched for that one Bionic album and it had that song Come On it.
Yep.
It's like one of my favorite songs when I was 18 or 19 or whatever. You can't find it.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, my old roommate put it out.
Oh, okay.
Richard Switzer.
Yeah, you have to send me. I really just wanted that one song, but I like the whole album.
The whole album is solid.
Yeah, I was looking for that one song. You can't find it anywhere. Like, you can't even legally download it.
It's all the Foo Fighters heavy songs all in one.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can give that to you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can illegally give it to you.
Legally?
No, illegally.
Illegally.
Illegally give it to you. Is that right?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
What if you pay him 99 cents, which he then passes on to Jonathan Cummings?
Oh, yeah, just give me 10 bucks.
No, because iTunes takes like 85% of that, so Jonathan would really only make 15. So we'd have to mail 85%
to... So what if you gave him 15 cents, which then he passed along to Jonathan Cummings?
You just want the song or you want the album?
I'll take the album.
Whole album's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll take the album.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't find it anywhere. I don't know why. They have other Bionic songs on iTunes, but not that.
Yeah, I think Bionic wrote a song, a political song for Danko Jones to sing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, what song is this?
It's on one of their albums, Deliverance.
Deliverance?
Yeah, it's a title from a Minutemen song, a political song for Michael Jackson to sing. So I guess they're liking me to Michael Jackson.
That's
I don't know how to take that. I don't know how to take that, but... I don't give a shit. Put the name out there, promo the band. Anything it takes. We played a show together once.
Yeah, we did.
I think once. We've only played once before.
No, we played shows with you guys at festivals in Europe all over the last 10 years.
I just remembered something. All right,
we got some good stories from...
Yeah, and they're all bitter, too.
They're kind of bitter, yeah.
Yeah, they're all fucking bitter. So we're playing this festival in Finland, and it's a two-day festival.
Danko Jones Boat Town.
Yeah.
And we're on one day, they're on another. And so we see them at the airport or something, right?
Oh,
you guys
were
landing in.
We're coming in, you guys are leaving.
Yeah, we're going to the gate or something. We're going to the festival, or some crazy shit like that. And you're on the plane with the Foo Fighters. And we're on the plane with like Aunt May or something. and you know what I mean? And we're like, man, the Foo Fighters were on our plane. Like, oh. And then, so the festival, not to throw them under the bus, but the two-day festival, we were the second last band. We were both the second last bands for the both days.
Yeah.
It's just that on our day, Serge Tankian was the headline, and then on your day it was the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And it just seems like and all the dudes from the Serge Tankian were cool and the crew was cool and everything, but it just seems more glamorous, if you will.
You
if
wanted
it's
the Foo Fighters
days, you know, there's a little more punk rock in there and a little more heaviness
to
it.
Serge is like first solo album probably, right?
Yes. That was like, people were like, who? And it had to be prefaced with, it's a System of the Down singer.
Yeah.
That was that stage. And then, you know, when he got up and he started going, whoa, everyone was like, okay, I got it.
Voice. Yeah.
Right. But Foo Fighters, you didn't have to like, and then I'm just like,
yeah,
great, cool. And it's happened like all the time, like everywhere we go, you know.
That tends to happen, yeah. We did play in Hungary. Was it Hungary together?
Yes, it
what
was.
Ziget Festival.
Yeah.
And we were having. I remember we saw each other in like the morning, and then in the afternoon these guys were playing, and we were having, or dinner time maybe. Anyways, we were in catering having dinner because we were going to go on.
Incredible catering, by the way.
Amazing catering. Some of the best catering.
Incredible.
And these guys were playing, and we were like, "Yeah, we're going to check out your show earlier." We're like, "Yeah, we'll be there, man. We'll check out the show." And then that was our only window to eat, so we're in the catering eating. But you can hear the stage right from catering, and all of a sudden you hear in the middle, we're listening to Danko set while we're eating, and all of a sudden you hear during the break, "Yeah, we'd like to give a big shout out to our boys and Billy Talon." Yeah, and then then all of a sudden there's like a pause, and then you hear, "Who are not watching us on the stage right now? All right, screw Billy Talent. Thanks a lot, assholes." And then he went on to his next song.
We
were laughing
like,
your asses off.
Yeah, our really good friends. They're from our hometown. They're our good buddies, our good friends. Then I looked around like, We're more like acquaintances.
We thought we were good friends, but they're not watching us now. So they're, yeah, I guess they're acquaintances.
I think I earned a shout out from Ben for the rest of your life.
Yeah, totally. Because
he gave us a shout out yesterday, right? Or 2 days ago. And I go, I went up to him. I'm like, hey man, you hear my, you heard the shout out I gave you guys? That was me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Headline that festival for you guys.
Faith No More, wasn't
Faith
it?
Faith No More, yeah.
Faith No More.
It was Faith No More.
Yeah.
With Snoop Dogg. Which I think Faith No More would have been better.
Less drama.
Snoop Dogg was is cool, but like there's a lot of teleprompter going on, there's a lot of track. It's, you know, a lot of dudes on stage waving towels.
Nobody's, right? Yeah. They are. Let's face it.
They don't have a mic.
Yeah.
They just are out there waving towels.
Yeah. Feeling entitled, like
he plays like he Snoop Dogg, you know, he's got some great songs and I like some of his old stuff, but then he plays songs where I think he did a song with like Katy Perry or something.
Oh,
so he did that song.
Awesome.
And so during the Katy Perry chorus he just stood there. Let the track sing the Katy Perry part. So it's a little cheesy to me.
Yeah, I hear you. Who were the other bands? Do you remember?
Yeah, there was a lot of English bands. Like, no, I don't know. I don't know who else was on that day.
I can't remember our day either. I think it was The Offspring. Offspring. I think Offspring, Faith No More.
Yeah.
Corey, was that? Might have been another year or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I remember that. Hell yeah.
It's a good festival. I mean,
yeah, it's huge. Pretty wicked.
80,000 people or something.
Yeah,
see it, people.
It's like a week-long festival too, and everybody's from out of other countries, and they travel and stuff. We played that festival 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 times over the years.
Oh, there's another band, Two Door Cinema Club. Is that? Do you know them?
No.
Okay. Yep. From England, they're big too. Like
I've seen that name around. I've never heard them.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those, you know, indie rock English bands, but with like a little bit of synth, kind of thing.
Yeah, that could be like 3,000 bands.
Yeah, yeah.
True. That narrowed it down.
Club it in. Yeah.
2 days ago, we were at Soundwave, and I gave Ben a. I went up to him. I'm like, "Yeah, you're our sound. My shout out to you guys." And he's like, "Oh, you gave us a shout?" Yeah, because he goes, and then goes, "Cause I gave you guys a shout out for sure." Yeah, and I'm looking at him, going, "This guy's for real." This guy really did. I'm just super joking right now.
What was it? What year did you first record come out?
Well, it took a few years. So our first record came out in 98, EP.
Okay.
But it took 2 years. Like we formed in 96. You know the funny thing is, I used to see Derek walking the streets of Toronto. Because an ex-girlfriend of mine was friends with Craig. Greg Norrie.
Yeah.
Of Treble Charger.
Yeah.
So they knew each other.
Yeah.
So when they would... And we used to walk the streets.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Yeah, I saw you when I was younger, too. Like,
yeah.
When we were just kind of moving.
So you guys, like, used to walk the streets, right?
Yeah.
We used to... Because I'm broke. And I'm just basically... I don't got a car. We're walking to this dinner. You got some cash? That was our relationship.
Actually, the first time I think we ever met you was like probably 1998 or 1999, and we were going up an elevator in the EMI publishing building.
Oh.
You know, the old EMI publishing building.
Yeah, the elevator.
Like Adelaide and...
Balfour building, yeah.
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 Where they used to do the rooftop patio parties and stuff like that. Spadina and Adelaide or Spadina and Richmond.
I've never been in the EMI publishing building.
Really?
It was maybe Eaton Center. Dude, I would run into Derek and Greg, with my ex girlfriend. They would be talking, and me and Derek would be the odd men out. We just like
and you wouldn't talk to each other.
No, like I didn't.
that's about Derek.
But that's about me too. Yeah. Like, I mean, how old was Derek in '97?
17.
I'm not gonna talk to a 17-year-old. Like, dude, I'm just like, fuck. Like, those are, you know, back then, age is a big, huge, you know, like even a year or two or five. Yeah. I was like,
who is this little kid?
Who are you?
Spicy.
Who are these guys?
Yeah. Wearing rave clothing.
Yeah, we opened up for you guys in 1997.
You guys did?
But we were like,
Pez.
At that point, we were probably...
Pez.
Yeah, we were called Pez, but we were 22 at that point. And you didn't say anything to us either. You're kind of an asshole.
We're such assholes. We're such a fucking... I remember that gig,
remember
too.
Corey came over, JC came over. I'm like, where's this Danko guy? Does he say hi to the opening band?
Oh, that's different. I just don't.
Are you sure you've never been in the EMI publishing building? Because I feel like I met you at one of those rooftop parties.
If it was, then I was dragged there and I had no idea what it was. I just knew it was an industry thing.
You used to go, right, Ian?
Every year, it was like Northeast.
You know, you're probably right, but I thought in a business capacity.
No, I think it was like a party.
I was probably brought there. But I, like I've said off the mic, I just go where people point.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I have no sense of direction and I don't even know where I am half the time.
Yeah.
I'm more like thinking about like what's gonna be in my inbox when I check it the next time I check it. So I swear to God. So I would meet Derek and Greg.
Yeah.
And Greg kind of knew who I was because I was in a band, and he knew the scene. Right. And so the more we ran into the two of them, the more I remembered Derek long enough to go, you know, whatever, we're doing our thing. And then I'm fucking just watching Much Music. I'm like, there's the kid I met outside of the Eaton Center. And it's like the top 30 countdown. What the hell is going on? And he's wearing a rock wig and they sound like Maiden. And I was just like, what? And I
didn't say anything.
I totally ignored him. And so I saw Derek years later, maybe 4 years after the first... that video came out.
Yeah.
What's that video called again?
It's Fat Lip and Pain for Pleasure.
Now the rules have reversed, right? So I'm at the Horseshoe and he comes up from the washrooms up the stairs and I'm there and he sees me and I see him and he did a double take. Yeah. Like he's like, I know, like, the walks.
Didn't talk to me.
Yeah.
We had an awkward moment sometime 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Earlier.
And I'm just like, and you walk by, and I just, you know, I would say to myself, let that be a lesson to you.
Oh, you didn't even say hi.
We just, like, I couldn't say hi at this point. I gave him the fucking...
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, I have to keep my dignity, man. I can't just be Artie Fufkin him.
Have you talked to him on this tour?
I haven't seen him. I saw him at the barbecue, but, like, you know, like, he's off, and I'm off, and we're all there. But, you know, since then, of course... your band's status has exploded and still at the Horseshoe walking the streets.
Still hanging out at the Horseshoe.
Saying hi to everybody I see.
Let that be a lesson, sir.
Trying to be as nice as you can.
I'm fucking trying to be as nice as possible. I always like go when someone goes, yeah, I met you, and I go, whoa. Was I a dick?
Yeah.
And people go, well, no, you never were a dick. You just didn't say anything to me. And I understand now it gets painted as rudeness.
Yeah.
But I really am just very approachable, but I keep to myself.
You know what I call it? There's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, and Larry likes, you know, this guy's, he's like, this is a nice guy, but his wife thinks he's a jerk. And so they're having this argument in the episode. He says the best thing. He's like, no, honey, no, he's a really great guy. No, you just have shy asshole confusion. And it's like, really, no, shy asshole confusion. And it's true. Like, a lot of people get that.
That's,
you know?
It,
like,
exactly.
That's exactly what it is, shy asshole.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's it.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm people come to me all the time and ask why Derek is a dick or like, well, how come he did? He's not a dick. He just doesn't talk. He's just like shy. So, you know, people are like, what's up with your singer, man? Like, what's up with your singer? I'm just like, do you try and talk to him? Because he's not going to try and talk to many people. He's not going to go out of his way to, like, go across the room and try and talk to someone. But if someone comes to talk to him, he'll talk to them.
So I feel that way, too.
You're constantly, like, sticking up for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, saying he's not really a dick. He's just shy. There's a difference.
But, you know, he's always going to be 17 years old to me.
Exactly.
Every time I see him.
But are you back then, were you shy or were you just?
I'm super shy.
You were.
I think I'm ultra shy.
Yeah.
To staggering degrees.
And people, you know, think that shy people are rude.
Yes.
Totally.
That's the thing. It kind of sucks for shy people.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shy too.
I am too. I'm totally shy.
You're shy.
I feel yeah, I'm totally shy. I feel
this guy's not shy.
No, and I'm a learned actor.
This guy's trying to get in with our club.
No, not at all. I would call myself a learned extrovert. I was always introverted, but over the last 10 years of doing this for a living, playing in a band, you kind of learn how to be an extrovert.
Well, adapt to situations.
Yeah, well, the reason why, I'm the way I am on stage is because I'm so shy and I just bottle it up.
Yeah, that's your...
If I was more outgoing, I think... I don't know if I would have ever been able to perform the way I do.
Yeah.
But JC is, like you're saying, or which one of you guys are saying?
Yeah,
JC. He'll be the first one to come up to you and say hi at every show. He searches out the opening bands, the headlining bands, and he says hi to the whole crew and the band and everything, basically making me have to play catch up.
You're probably that guy in Billy Talent, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
To
no.
go over and like shake everyone's hand.
I think all the guys in my band are pretty like shy? Pretty no, easygoing and very like social and extroverted.
Really?
I used to be the one guy that was the introvert, but because of them now I've become a learned extrovert, I think.
Yeah. You're also good with names.
I have a good memory, I remember
really
names.
I know faces a lot.
Faces, I'm good with faces.
Sometimes I'll meet people and as soon as they say their name, it's already gone.
Yeah. Dude, it never registers. Trust me, anyone out there, if you said while you're shaking my hand,
you're not really
Zilcho memory. I'm looking at your face going, oh yeah.
I'll run your face.
Bearded guy with one earring guy.
Again, that could be a lot of people.
Pork pie hat with red beard guy.
Bearded with plaid
slight
shirt.
Slight acne on left cheek.
Yeah.
That's about 80% of everyone on this tour, actually.
Pretty much, yeah. I was going to say something again, but whatever.
What were you going to say, Danko?
I don't know. I was going to... What were you talking about? JC's making me look bad. You're an extrovert.
Actually, it's funny because I met JC before. Well, I met you, but I became friends with JC way before I even.
I remember
started
the first
talking.
Time I met you.
Who was that?
That was the front of the Horseshoe, and Corey, our sound man, introduced us.
Actually, Corey met our band first because he filled in for a couple when we were just starting out. You guys are off the road for a bit, so he did a whole bunch of showcases that we were showcasing for labels with.
Yeah, I totally
remember. We met him. We thought he was the coolest dude ever.
'03, right?
Yeah. And then I met JC through Corey, and then I met you, I think, in front of the Horseshoe. That night.
Yeah, in the Horseshoe, and he's like, yeah, this is Ian. And I'm like, hi.
Hey. Hi. That was it. All I get was a hi. I'm Danko.
Now you got your own show.
It's great. You got your own show now. You're cracking jokes.
You can't be shy to have a show.
I've said this on the podcast. I'm doing this almost as like
break.
So some sort of not rehabilitation, but some sort of
therapy.
Yeah,
therapeutic.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
And trying to like meet people that I know but I don't see. Like you guys are whenever Corey and JC go out. Like, they always say they've run into you guys or, I was hanging out with Ian or I'm never out.
Yeah.
I just never go out. I don't.
You're not a bar guy. Yeah.
I don't drink. And when I, when a band's coming through, it's like, a lot of it, the time is just like, and just almost to save face, you say hi and then you're just like, fucking missing, like. Like whatever show's on. this is great.
Oh man, I'm missing Walking Dead right now.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to. God, I gotta need new shoes because I've been standing for 45 minutes. You ever do that when you watch shows and everybody's into it and you're just mentally counting down how many songs have been played? That should be the halfway point,
I've actually
right?
I've done that before, yeah.
Oh man, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
And then you go back and you're like, great show, man. What you mean to say is, oh, thank God it's over.
Totally, man.
Bye. But yeah.
That's because we're spoiled. That's why. You get to play all these festivals and you get to stand like side stage and watch some of your favorite bands. And then
turn around.
When it turns, right.
Turn best seat in the house.
I'm going to go to the dressing room and crack a beer and come back to my awesome spot next to the stage.
Last night,
when you go to a show, it's like you're standing there in the back.
We're spoiled. I know.
When we went to the show last night, I don't know if you ever met Todd before. he's in my Operation MD band, so he plays with the Offspring too.
Yeah, yeah, we know. He was in Juliet Lewis and the Licks.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we went to your show last night. Todd, dude, doesn't really know Duff or anyone like that. Just beelined it for his dressing room. Just right like went right for it, like it was like entitlement. And so I stood out. I stood by the bar. I'm not going in there.
I went right behind Todd.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I look back. Cone's not there.
No.
And Tom's not there. And I'm standing there with Todd and duplicating stress from him, like, whom I've never met before. So I felt like a...
Did you meet him yesterday?
No, I met him and he was such a nice guy.
He's so cool.
He's
so
one
nice,
of the coolest
very
guys.
Very nice
I'm
guy.
I'm not just going to like... Yeah. Just get to the show and poof, right to the dressing room. No. And it's like...
Maybe it's that polite Canadian ease we all have.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, Todd also comes from like H2O, which is a hardcore band. So like that kind of like, you know... bro down thing always happens in the hardcore world where everyone just hangs out in the dressing room, doesn't matter who you are, you know, you hang out till you go on,
you know, that
either
does
that
not
from LA
which he
that's
is
probably,
isn't
yeah. Well, he lives in LA
which he is
yeah
yeah that
that's,
won't
that's more it yeah
that doesn't happen in our dressing rooms.
No.
Yeah.
It's more like chess.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be
and the sound
tonight.
Of keyboards
keep so what would happen if you had a whole bunch of dudes just kind of barge. From another band coming to your dressing
room. Happened
like
before.
Half an hour before you're supposed to come on.
This is so disrespectful.
What do you actually do? I want to know what you do. Because everyone's had been, all our bands have been in the situation. And you know, that's the time you want to warm up.
Half
and,
an
like,
hour before a show.
Mentally
sure.
prepare for the show. And
well,
like,
I don't think it's an industry secret.
Yeah.
But you throw your tour manager under the bus on that.
Yeah.
And he takes the
exactly
hit.
Exactly what you do.
Guys, get out of here. And you're just behind him going, I'm sorry, he's such
a dick.
I
tell our tour manager that to even like my family when they come to Toronto. Like, just start saying it. They got to go. He's like, they're your parents. I'm like, and I'm like, no, just yell it in the room. Just say, everybody out, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, like parents or buddies are best friends.
And your mom and dad still sitting
still
there?
Yeah.
Are they still sitting
there? You got to warm up.
Yell it again.
They don't get it, man.
Yeah.
Nobody gets it.
Yeah.
It's a lonely existence on stage in front of thousands of people. You can't even complain. It's so hard to complain.
Yeah, it is hard.
There's nobody to complain to.
No.
Everybody just says, shut up and live my dream for me. I'm like, really? Your dream is... Really? Your dream is at a fucking Formula One hotel somewhere off the Reaper Bomb. Really? Really? That's your dream. No, I say, it's
next
gotten better than
Reaper
that.
Bomb.
But yeah. But yeah, you know, like, you know, but you know, it's better than that. That's an exaggeration, but still, you know.
You like staying at the Motel 6?
Really?
In Jersey? Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. But yeah. Well, thanks guys.
Cool. All right.
No problem.
Thanks, man.
It's fun.
Thanks. Just so, just out here. You.